Today's class is prompted by hearing about some of the difficulties that people have when they come to a deliverance situation. And I've been lucky enough to have had a great deal of experience in this area. One, because at age 21, which was a very long time ago, 54 years ago, I cast out my first demon. And I didn't really cast that many out, but I did get training in the group I was in for 20 years on how to do it. But when I became a counselor way later in life, for the last 30 years, there almost a week doesn't go by when I have some interaction with the demon, because people that are being counseled, and they're not just a terrible mess all the time, but they usually have something in their history where a demon has slipped in. And demons are more like bunks. They're not like Dracula has taken you over, but they cause serious problems, kind of like a Lyme's disease tick. So a lot of the ways that people approach deliverance, particularly when they're in groups, are not only not effective, but extremely embarrassing and hurtful to the person who's receiving that deliverance. They're having 30 people yell at them and point them out. And the demon is tying up 30 of God's people, taking their time and energy and focus, which they eat. They actually eat that. So it makes the demon fatter. All in all, the person is hurt probably more than they're helped, even if you manage to kick the demon out for a moment, because that person is probably going to have great shame about making a complete fool of themselves in front of 30 people. So I want to tell you what to do if you're in particularly a group setting and someone starts to manifest, or someone just says, gee, I have a terrible headache and it won't go away. My stomach is sick all the time. I'm having awful thoughts. Nancy and I both do deliverance on people in a very relaxed, calm setting. Very, very rare for us to ever raise our voice or to be worried or stressed. A lot of us say that we have the power of Christ, which is preeminent, but it sure doesn't look that way sometimes. So first I'm going to tell you some ways not to deliver somebody. Okay, demons love attention and they like chaos and loud noises. So praying at them in loud voices actually really makes them happy. I've actually seen people read them the Bible. They like that. It's like reading them a bedtime story. They're not afraid of the Bible. You know, Satan knows the Bible backwards and forwards. So I want you, everybody, to calm down. Number one, we've got this. It's going to be okay. So when the person starts to manifest, you need to take them apart from the larger group. Why? Because authority is what casts out demons, not noise and not group energy. Group energy actually dilutes any authority. Remember when the demons would sometimes ask Jesus, well, who are you? Or they'd ask the apostles, who are you? Jesus we know, but who are you? Authority is diluted by group activity.
Another thing that we want to highlight is that you never touch the person while you're doing deliverance. What you want to do is get rid of something out of them. Laying on of hands is to impart something to a person, but during a deliverance, we don't touch them because we're casting something out of them. That's important to remember.
So demons respect, like when you have one authority figure. So at the most, you should have maybe one person leading the deliverance, possibly a backup person. Like it would be better if you're going to take someone that you don't know into a room, of course, to have two people, maybe like one man, one woman, or it could be two men, but at least two people, and separate them from the group. and having a whole bunch of people praying in tongues and jumping up and down is not actually helping. So as you take the person aside with consideration that they're people and they have feelings, and you know they may be acting real weird for a moment, get them settled down and just say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, be quiet. Some people want to have conversations with demons. To me, that is right on the level of having conversation with cockroaches, asking about their home life and where they come from and what they do for a living. I don't want to talk to demons. For one thing, they lie almost incessantly. And I have had a few conversations with demons, mostly that have been humorous. One time I saw a demon in a vision, and about 6 weeks later, I saw him in one of my counselees. And I said, oh, I saw you 6 weeks ago. And he said, oh, yes, I saw you back there. So we chatted for a minute. I said, well, I'm going to cast you out. And he goes, wait a minute, we're friends. And I said, no, we're not. So I cast him out. But by and large, having talks with people, trying to have talks with demons. Another joke I have is where you say, oh, Satan was your father and he mistreated you and you were subject to child abuse. That's really terrible. Now I'm going to cast you out. So anyway, give up on chatting with demons. They don't have anything to help you with. It doesn't give you power over them if you learn their name, and the chances are that they're going to lie to you about what their name is anyhow. So remember, they love drama, and we need to be careful as Christians not to love the drama of deliverance more than helping the person who's having a problem. And you remember, I've been doing this for 30 years, so if I got excited every time I did a deliverance, I would just stay excited, I guess, in kind of an unhealthy way. Okay, so Nancy's agreed to help me with this. I'm going to pretend that she's having a deliverance problem, and I'm going to ask her to say a few simple things, and this will help you tremendously. First, get them calmed down, get them apart from the large group with a witness, don't go by yourself, and have them say, and so I'm going to say, Nancy, will you say, I repent from cooperating with anything evil that's hurting me.
I repent for cooperating with anything evil that's hurting me.
Okay. What this does is it removes the right of the demon to be in that person, which is pretty tenuous in the first place. What sin did this person do? Many times they didn't do anything. They were a child that was abused. Someone punched them. They were in a car wreck. There's a lot of different things that can trigger. That's not exactly their fault, but there is usually a level of cooperation where the demon will say, well, if you let me live here, I'll help you. That happens with little kids a lot. They make sort of like deals with the mafia. And drugs, absolutely. Getting really drunk, any sort of unhealthy sex. All those are avenues for demons.
Inherited
problems. Anyway, if you can get them to say that, your work just becomes so much easier. And demons, there's rarely only one. There's usually a group, like bugs. So they travel in groups with a head. They have a leader. So you say, I appoint a new order and authority. What this does is puts the strongest demon, it's kind of like the mafia, he's Fat Tony, he's the big tough demon, and the little guys underneath him, it flips the order that they're in, so the weakest one goes up on top, and the strongest one is put on the bottom. My trusty assistant pointed out to me that it's good to say, Jesus appoint a new order and authority. When I'm doing deliverance, Jesus and I are pretty locked in together almost automatically. But that's a very good point. We should say Jesus appointed new order and authority, and let what happens to the head demon happen to all the rest. So instead of getting rid of one and leaving 30, you demote one and grab up all 30 and get them out. And It's one thing to be in a prayer line or to be in a group where you never see the person again. What we do is we see the person next week and the week after and the week after. So you really get to know how effective your deliverances are. It's pretty simple. So often, the grand moment where you never see the person again doesn't really let you know how well you did. So let's skip the grand moments and get down to helping the people that are demonized. It is very good for them. There's almost always counseling issues attached, like abuse or parents that didn't love them, or poverty and pain, and lots of different bad sexual things happen to people. They probably need someone to methodically go through that with them. But you must remember to, as much as you can, preserve that person's dignity and to leave them feeling loved on and not like there's some kind of a freak. So we have picked up the pieces of people who had a wonderful, dramatic moment for themselves, but it actually ended up wounding the person who was manifesting. So take the drama out of the things, like letting the air out of the tires, and let Jesus be the big guy. If he really is preeminent, it shouldn't be that hard. And it's not. Okay, that's it.
Let's say the whole prayer so I repent for cooperating with anything evil that may be hurting me. And now you say the whole prayer.
Jesus, appoint a new order and authority, and let what happens to the head demon happen to all the rest. And so now I command these demons to leave this person. In the name of Jesus Christ, up and out they go. And let there be a joy and an infilling of grace and God's presence in this area and bring healing to this person completely. And you could say some words of encouragement, like God loves you and enjoys you. It's been good to be with you.
And I think a lot of times, too, we add at the end, send them to the feet of Christ.
That's right. And send them to the feet of Christ. That's exactly right. And now let me explain that to you. I'm so glad Nancy's here to help me. It's a little early in the morning. I don't feel that I'm qualified to send even something as horrible as a demon into eternal torment. That's just too big for me. So here's what I do. I say, send these demons to the feet of Christ, and you can say it too, but I don't know exactly what happens to them, but I hear them screaming when they go. So they're not going to club demon. They're going to something very unpleasant. And essentially, they never come back after that. So I don't know if they're held in a demon jail, if they go to some version of hell. All that is above my pay grade. All I care about is I'm here on earth. I don't want them here anymore. And I don't want them in the person I'm ministering to, but I've never seen them come back after that. So now remember, some of us can actually see them. Some of us can feel them. Most of us actually can feel them if we try. And quite often the person will know that there's something going on and or if they're hearing voices. So hopefully if you put this all together and do it this way, you will find good results without a lot of drama. One thing I want you to remember is, let's say that two people take the person who's manifesting into a separate area. Let your meeting, whatever its purpose was, continue, and don't let the time and energy of 30 of God's chosen children to be set aside by a little pipsqueak demon. The guy, he's probably pretty proud of himself. If he can get all of you derailed for 2 hours, that makes him very happy. So continue with the meeting, and also it takes the pressure off the person who's being delivered, so they're not this the weirdest person that ever lived. Okay?